This is Chris Martin, and me and my buddy Kevin O'Connor, a.k.a. Kevin O. Everything, host an NBA podcast called The Mismatch. They call it The Mismatch because I'm awesome, and Kevin is a gigantic nerd.
No, that's not why at all, Chris. They call it The Mismatch because I have a brain, and you're a loudmouth bozo.
Good grief.
Anyway, listen to our amazing NBA podcast, The Mismatch.
Or don't. We really don't care. We're probably going to win a million awards either way.
Chris, we do care, so don't say that. Please subscribe and listen to The Mismatch only on Spotify.
Did you really call me a bozo? Let's roll, baby. Welcome in Tuesday, Ringer Gambling. John Stremski, Joe House. Excited. It's going to be a loaded week across the board. The NBA has some sizzle now in three of their four series. But House, we missed that on 80-1 in the Kentucky Derby, dude. What were we doing?
I don't even think that horse was in the field when we taped the show Friday morning. You know what I mean?
Here's why it's a mistake, though. You and I love value.
We really do.
We are not exactly connoisseurs when it comes to horse racing and what pony speed and all the races they're running. I don't know any of this shit, dude. So normally you and I get 80-1. We just take a flyer on 80-1.
I'm telling you, it wasn't even on the board, I think, when we taped the show. But JJ, how about this? The two horses we did talk about, us two dummies, Epicenter and Zandon, they were right there down the stretch. And, you know, the incredible thing watching the Derby afterwards was that view they had above where NBC tracked, Rich Strike? What was his name?
Yeah, whatever, something Strike. Yeah, I think it was Rich Strike or Red Strike. Who the hell knows? Whatever. Who cares?
They tracked him from the pack, and he caught up to the two horses in the lead, the guys that we liked, those two horses. And the only time the announcer said Rich Strike's name was when he crossed the finish line at first.
Was
unbelievable.
At the end. And if you had 80-1, Merry Christmas. Happy Congrats. Holidays. Take
Wonderful.
It. Combine it. You're not going to have a better win probably this year. How did the NBA card yesterday treat you? So as bad as it was for me a couple of days ago, I loved the Celtics yesterday. I absolutely loved the Celtics yesterday. And for three quarters, I'm not feeling good about that game until the magic of Al Horford happens. And then Jason Tatum finally decided, hey, guess what? I'm going to be Jason Tatum again.
I needed to give myself a break last night. I took the slate off.
Wow. You took a night off of NBA playoff action. Wow.
Here's why. In the sense that we're feeling very generous to everybody that jumped on the horse, the 80-1 shot, I still have a bad taste in my mouth. From the last time we were together, JJ, we went through, in very deliberate fashion, the card going into the weekend. And I think we made, you know, a lot of thoughtful choices about the way to line up our betting at that moment and also on through the weekend and into this week. We messed up, buddy. Somehow or another, we let the Philadelphia 76ers and Doc Rivers and Daryl Morey rope-a-dope us. We were sitting here first part of Friday like, well, they say he's still out, but it seems likely that he's going to play. Joel Embiid is the effing MVP of the league. I know the Joker won it, but, you know, it was 1A, 1B. And we sat there and muddled, well, maybe, I don't know. And you tried to talk me into Dallas, and I liked Dallas. We made the right case for why Dallas was going to win. We were all over the Golden State money line going into the weekend. The barrage of threes at home that we anticipated, that's exactly what played out. But we got effed because we played Miami money line and the Miami total, and we just didn't factor in the impact of Joel Embiid. So I had to give myself a timeout on the card after that. I'm about ready to jump back in now, though.
I understand that, and you nailed our misread on Philadelphia, Miami. And my goodness, the last time you and I had a conversation, I'm talking up the Heat as a title contender. I'm flexing my future. I'm feeling really good. Well, Joel Embiid comes back, and the Heat have looked like a different team. The Sixers have looked like a different team. And now I look at the COVID list, House, And everybody and their mother, it feels like, for the Miami Heat is either on the COVID list, Lowry and his deal is a total mess, and maybe Twitter is going to get their wish and Duncan Robinson's actually going to get some burn. Nobody, no, social media has this love affair with Duncan Robinson. And listen, with the way the Heat have shot the ball in games three and game four, can make the argument he should be getting some burn. But you need drastic measures, I think, sometimes for a series to shift. Usually it's something that you pinpoint where you say, wow, where did this go wrong? Why did this change? Sometimes it's simple, dude. Embiid is back. The Sixers are a different team. And I'm not feeling good about any of my Miami wagers right about now.
I mean, you know, depth-wise now, it feels like Philly knows who their six or seven are. They feel very comfortable with, you know, the lineup plus, you know, the two rotation players that they can play in crunch time. I don't know if we have that same feeling when it comes to Miami. Lowry has already been ruled out for tonight. The hammy, you know, is bothering
him. And he looked like
him.
A corpse when he was on the court anyway,
that's
if we're
right.
being honest.
So the three big questions for tonight and really for the outcome of the series, what version of James Harden are we going to get? Are we going to get that game four version? Was that a linchpin moment for him
See,
in these playoffs?
See, I don't want to overreact to that, House.
No,
from
I understand.
Standpoint. He had a couple of late threes that were wide open. Now they were daggers. Like, they killed Miami's chances. But I'm not willing to look at those two shots and say, yeah, you're getting dominant Harden the rest of the way. I'm still waiting to see on that.
They don't even need dominant Harden, though. They just need aggressive Harden. Will he get to the hole? Will he inside-outside? When he puts inside-outside back into the mix, it changes the offensive equation for Philly because it really frees up Maxey. Maxey looks so comfortable when Harden is dealing that way. There were a couple times where I was like, Harden started doing that, you know, between the leg dribble thing. I'm like, bro, pass the ball. Just pass it. You have the advantage now because of reminding everybody that you have an inside-outside threat. Now it's time to really leverage that. But that's only kind of a minor role in this. Really, the focus is on Miami. And the two questions with Miami are, can they shoot better from three? Because they were 7-for-35 from three in games three and four combined. And who will be their second scorer? Because we've seen sixth man of the year, Tyler Hero, not quite ready for prime time, right? Like, he has to be their second scorer if Kyle Lowry's not healthy. Kyle Lowry is not healthy. It's got to be Tyler Hero. What version of Tyler Hero are we going to see tonight?
Excellent point. I think Hero has to step up in a big way, and Bam has got to be way tougher. I thought he got pushed around. I thought he looked incredibly soft. He's got to play with far more of an edge if they're going to win. But I got news for you, House. I picked Miami in this series. You know I liked Miami in this series. This betting line tonight, I don't like Miami at all. Opened at 3.5. It's down to 3. Dude, I like the Sixers tonight. Maybe I'm a prisoner of the moment. Maybe I'm getting sucked into what I saw in game 3 and game 4. But I think Philadelphia has found something here in this series. I do not like where Miami stands. I don't.
So, you anticipate some regression. And I'll just remind that the Heat were 45-21 at home.
Very
as
good.
A favorite this season.
Very good. Yes.
Really good at home. And you anticipate the role players. Your Gabe Vincent's going to have a big game. Max Strus is going to have to make
Strus
shots.
Strus has got
to
hit a shot. I mean, the guy couldn't hit a shot for two games. He's got to hit a shot.
But, JJ, I'm here to tell you, I'm joining you on the Heat. I mean, on the
on
Sixers.
Philly.
On
right
the
out of the gate, family. I like it.
I just don't trust the Heat having a solution. I do think that they will make more baskets. I do think that they will make more threes. I've never regarded Miami as an enormous home court advantage kind of place.
It's not. Nobody shows up on time. Everybody leaves early. It's not the idea, and listen, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, so I know a thing or two about Miami sports culture and the vibe and the feel. When the Knicks used to play down their house, the Knicks would have 30% of the building. Now, Philly, not as many transplants, I would say, from the Philly, Florida area to maybe the New York, Florida area. I know, like, that Miami area is, like, basically New York South. There will be a good contingent of Philly fans in that building tonight, I think.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but we haven't seen anything from Miami that suggests they have a solution for Embiid, right? They had two chances, and part of why I was so pissed off about the game Friday night with Embiid returning, they had to have game planned for the possibility that he was going to play, and that he was going to play over 30 minutes, which he's done now both games, right? They looked, though, utterly confounded and befuddled. And your point about Adebayo is exactly right. Bam Bam ain't got no Bam Bam in him, and he just doesn't have the physical ability. They got so desperate, they put one of the Morris twins out there, and basically his career was ended by the block shot that Joel took down on him. I just don't see, like, the problem I have with the Heat is they have to make so many threes to overcome what I regard as a really confident, quiet confidence that Philly has now, because they found that identity. Joel's back, and they're firing on all engines. I mean, I understand the overreaction risk that we're taking here, and I understand how good the Heat are at home, but I have to back Philly.
What would you say is the magic number for Miami? If they're going to win and cover this game, how many threes they got to hit? 14?
Yeah, yeah, they've been bad. They've been bad from corner threes. They're like, I saw one of the numbers from the Action Network guys. I think they're like 17th in these playoffs, like out of the, you know, across the board in terms of three-point shooting.
Let's get to game two. Dallas and Phoenix. I got a text from you Sunday morning. It's you, the Podfather, and yours truly in our little group chat. House, tell me why I shouldn't unload and basically put the mortgage on Suns, I believe, laying 2.5 or Suns on the money line. And I basically responded with, I like them, but it's way too public, and therefore I'm not playing it. And I sat out. I did not play Suns and Mavericks in the first game on Mother's Day. I was like, this is a stay away for me. And sure enough, you had Chris Paul getting all sorts of foul trouble. You had the classic. I think, was it a Scott Foster game? No, it was not a Scott Foster game.
No, Scott Foster's in the East.
He did the Philly game.
That's right.
He did the Philly game. So correct. I'm blanking on my Scott Foster, because usually anytime you have a Chris Paul game like that, you want to equate it to Scott Foster, but it wasn't. The Suns were just so out of sorts. And really, House, let's be honest, since they've left Phoenix, they've been all out of sorts in this series.
My question to you, and I sat watching that. Now, I went in much less aggressive than I was prepared to go. So this is why I sought the good counsel of you and the Podfather.
You didn't get the endorsement you were looking for, so right. You backed away a little bit.
That's
okay.
Right. I mean, you know, I tapped the brakes because, you know, you guys, the reason that I went in with such enthusiasm was because I chalked game three up to, like, exactly what we talked about on Friday's show in terms of a forecast, which is the role players getting comfortable. Brunson had a good game. He had 28 points in game three. And Dallas doing a little game planning around, trying to be a little bit more physical. They got Dwight Powell. They minimized his minutes. They have Kleber, another shooter out there. So we kind of had a good feel for game three. And I thought, okay, so Phoenix will show up in game four with their response. Chris Paul and Booker, and I was really counting on Mikal Bridges. I just think, you know, the role players, and I put Ayton in this category as well, for Phoenix, you know, showing out the way that a 64-win team over the course of a season, they can roll with it. They've been consistent in the fourth quarters of games especially, and that just is not the way that the game script played out on Sunday. The foul trouble, not only did Chris Paul foul out at the beginning of the fourth quarter, only got 23 minutes in the whole game, ended up with whatever it was, 5 or 6 points. But a whole ton of guys had 4 fouls. JaVale had 4 fouls. Booker had 4 fouls. Crowder had 4 fouls. Mikal Bridges had 4 fouls. I mean, they just weren't prepared for the physicality. And the energy that Dallas brought at the beginning of both game three and game four, it was force of will, JJ. And Phoenix wasn't up to it, which is why I'm saying to you, is Phoenix a finesse team?
They might be, but they're also a very different team. And their role players, to me, are a very different bunch of dudes when they're playing in their home building. I think we've seen that now in this postseason. They got spooked a little bit in that New Orleans series. Came back at home, found a way to right the ship. I think we're getting a similar script for this game against the Mavericks. I don't think Dallas is going to get the same performances they got at a whole lot of dudes. Like Reggie Bullock was hitting some big, big shots. I don't think that ends up being the case on the road. I'm getting Phoenix now. They opened this at 5.5, immediately moved it to 6. Phoenix is not losing this game tonight, House. So maybe you want to talk me out of the spread. You could do that if you'd like. We are throwing Phoenix into something tonight. I do not see Phoenix losing this game. I'd be stunned.
Your point is absolutely the right one. CP3 at home averages over 23 points a game, averages over 9 assists, 5 rebounds, shoots over 54%. I like this as a CP3 bounce back. In fact, I'm going to look at CP3.
From a prop market. Yeah. I like that. What if are we thinking? Points, rebounds, assists?
If I can get over 29.
Assists, okay.
Yeah, if I can get points, rebounds, assists over 29.5, if that's out there at a reasonable price.
Let's see if FanDuel put them up yet. Because I'm in. That's something I think we should work into our little family wager here. Family parlay. I'm in on that. I'm totally in on that. I love the dramatic. The issue now is when you do these podcasts this early in the day, sometimes they don't have all this stuff up. Let's see here. See, I need the player combo. That's what I need, House. The player combo for Mr. Paul. See, this is annoying. Oh, here we go. I got it. Points and assists. That's all I got right now. So you're going to have to roll with that.
Let's hear it.
25.5.
25.5. Well, I mean, he's there on his average because he averages close to 32 in points and assists.
Do you want points, rebounds, and assists?
Yeah, I would like to put the rebounds in also.
30.5.
Okay, so that's over that 29.5, but only by one. You know what? What's the price? Is it a fair price? Oh, okay, a little juice. You have to lay a little juice. I still like it. I think, you know, after CP3, after those two games, everything with CP3 at this moment is legacy, right? Everything. And he's shown us so that tenacity, especially in games 1 and 2, he took over the fourth quarter in both of those games and you know, led us to believe that this might be a short series. The only reason I'm disinclined to lay the points tonight is because Luka. He is the best player in this series.
Well, he's in his zone right now, too. That's another thing. He is dialed in.
So the thing is, you know, with Phoenix and Monty Williams just won Coach of the Year, they have to show up with a different strategy. They cannot afford to let the Dallas role players beat them in their own building. They need to just get out on those guys, let Luka have his 40-piece. It's fine. You can win that way. Luka had 40 in game 1 and 35 in game 2, and Phoenix won, and neither one of those games was particularly close. The thing to do is to shut down the perimeter, and we need the effort. It's an effort thing to me. They have to stop committing turnovers. The Chris Paul turnover thing to go along with the fouls. If they can minimize the fouls, reduce the turnovers, and just be sort of regular Phoenix, then I like them a lot on the money line.
So I'm looking at the lines for tomorrow. Have you seen Milwaukee-Boston yet?
I have.
Oh, okay. I was gonna have you guess it. Are you surprised that line's at 5.5? That seems a little pricey to me.
Feels like a lot.
What am I missing there? Listen, the Celtics were great in the fourth quarter. Horford was insane. Tatum finally showed up. You want to tell me the Celtics are going to have a juiced up crowd? I think the Podfather might even be in the building, so you know it's a big time event.
That's right.
Billy Boy is making his way back to Beantown. But that seems too high, dude. My initial like lean on that game is, and it probably seems insanely public. And I've been on the Celtics the last two games, by the way. Actually, the last three games I've been on the Celtics. We had Milwaukee in game 1, and then I went Boston game 2, Boston game 3, miracle cover, might I add, and game 4. So I've been on the Celtics the last three. 5.5, I'm scooping Milwaukee. That's too many freaking points.
It's too many points. I agree with you. And that really was, to me, a function of the Freak getting tired of all things, you know, on a Monday night. He just got wore down. Now, the credit to Boston for wearing him down. And let's just call it out. Al Horford, the MVP of these playoffs.
Oh, he saved their bacon. He saved their bacon because Tatum looked like a lost puppy for 2.5 quarters. Brown was not dominating the game. He was, you know, quietly getting his 16 or his 18. Al Horford's stretch in that third quarter and into the fourth quarter is why the Celtics won the game. Simple as that.
He was 6 for 6 in the fourth quarter, and his dunk on the Freak that included a technical or whatever on top of it, flagrant one, They went 35. They won the rest of the game 35-27, and that was the 8-point margin that they won by. But I go all the way back to that Nets series. Al Horford shut down Kevin Durant, and I defy anybody to tell me differently. We watched all four games. Boston plays with poise in the fourth quarter, but I think this series is just a razor thin deal. I don't like, you know, a whole bunch of points with the freak, with what he knows at stake. And let's be honest, that's the true MVP right there. He's the best player in the league. It's just too many points. I'm with you, JJ.
So I'm looking right now at the Eastern series prices. Boston's basically back to what it was at the start of the series. They're at minus 190. Milwaukee's at plus 160. So status quo as far as that goes. The Miami-Philadelphia series price, though, Miami down to minus 145, bro. I may have to, because you know I loaded up on the Heat, and I loaded up on the Heat -1.5 games. I may have to buy back a little bit with the Sixers tonight and for the series. I may have to.
Yeah, well, the money line tonight is plus 132. The Sixers series price is plus 124. So maybe you just play Philly money lines.
I think that might be the point.
You don't get as much value out of this. Now, if Philly wins tonight, I might be on Miami for game six.
Well, because that is the sort of game that these Sixers would lose.
It's true. It's exactly it. We've seen it too many times.
They would lose that game. They'd be as tight as a drum. Miami would be very loosey-goosey, and maybe that'd be the game Miami hits a shitload of threes. So, like, tonight I like the Sixers. I would not like them in a game six. I would not feel good at – well, I don't know if I'll pick them in game six, but I would not like the idea of backing them in a game six. Does that
whatever the points are, I'm going to grab the points on Miami. But that's all contingent on Philly handling its business tonight. And what we seem to have seen over the weekend, these past 48 hours, crystallizing, coming together. Great coaching job, by the way, by Doc Rivers. Let's call it out.
Out-coaching Spoelstra in this series. Who saw that coming going in?
Well, it does help to have the very best player in the league and the 1B MVP.
Sure, but they didn't have him the first two games, though. You know, even with Embiid coming back, I was like, yeah, maybe it's too little too late.
For them, it was not. And, you know, again, what version of James Harden do we get? We don't even need 30 out of him. He needs to take 20 shots. That's an important thing for Philadelphia.
Okay, final one. Golden State, Memphis. I think Dylan Brooks just took another hero ball, missed three. I mean, I had Memphis last night, and my worst nightmare house was that game going to overtime, and the amount of profanity that would have been used, the way of Dylan Brooks, it would have woke up all Brooklyn. It would have woke up the entire five boroughs, because the guy basically took some of the worst shots down the stretch that you'll ever see. Jackson took one that was just as bad, if not worse, at the end of the game. And the Warriors played, in my opinion, a C-minus game or a D-plus game and found a way to win. This series is cooked. JJ. I mean, not only do I think it's cooked, I think Memphis is dead in game five. I think the Warriors know they need the rest going into this next series, probably against Phoenix. I don't think they're messing around here. I know some are going to say, oh, it's a free game. They're going back home. I don't look at it that way. I think Golden State's going to be ready to rock.
I feel the exact same way. You know, Memphis was up 93-90 with 2.5 minutes left in that basketball game last night. And Memphis was all of the versions of Memphis that we've seen when Ja has been out. They were 20-5 with Ja out, and they really let everybody eat. That's the scheme that Memphis has used in the past. Now, look, I'm not one to gloat, JJ, but I did say on this show last Friday, I wondered out loud, and I put it to our good friend Chris Vernon, the homie from Memphis, the resident Memphis native. Is it that big a deal that Dylan Brooks was suspended for game three? I wondered aloud. I don't know if that was such a bad thing. I said it on this show or on the text. I can't remember because, you know, I can only remember 24 hours these days.
Understandable.
He still thinks that has the green light he had last year. This is a different team altogether. That hero ball shit is completely out of order with the Memphis identity and the core. And he missed a bunch of games this year because of injury. And he's always looked like a tough fit for me. He has not been in order with that Memphis core grit identity, the sharing of the ball, the open shots they get when the ball moves. And you know what? It costs them. Now, this is exactly what you forecast with a young team, right? it's a composure thing. It's a down the stretch thing. If you come at the king, you best not miss. This is exactly the version of Golden State that we kind of anticipated could be here in these playoffs. We didn't know in October when we were looking at how the season might play out that Jordan Poole was going to be this absolute revelation. But look, Golden State's loaded. We're anticipating a Golden State-Phoenix Western Conference Finals. I don't know how to even guess what that price will be. It feels like pretty even money to me.
I think you're getting minus 120.
Yeah, that's right.
I wouldn't even be surprised if Golden State's favored.
I feel the exact same way.
I wouldn't be, and I'll be rooting like crazy for Phoenix, full disclosure. I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm not saying that's what my head necessarily says. Yeah. My heart will be rooting like crazy for Phoenix because I'm sick of the Warriors. Well, I am so sick of the Warriors. I don't care if they've been out of the playoffs the last couple of years. Enough. That team just adds. They get under my skin. You know, funny. It's like LeBron in many ways. And LeBron used to get under my skin. That team really gets under my skin.
I just...
Because it's not fair. Like, at the end of these games, you know Curry's making free throws, right? Like,
I think that's fair, though.
These ridiculous threes that are unguardable. It's not fair, bro. It's not fair.
I mean, you know, they built the team. It's a
you
good
gotta,
team.
You got to bully that team. Barkley was talking about it yesterday, and I totally agree with him. You have to punish them inside. That's who would beat them, man.
Yes. Well, and I don't know if Phoenix has the personnel for that, but you and I are in lockstep. I'm not going to go in heavy on Golden State just because, you know, they have a game five,
and they have a free game. That's the issue.
Yeah, and they messed around a little bit. I don't want to have a big chunk on Golden State and then watch Klay come out and shoot 2 for 14 from three again.
No, that would not be ideal. So I got some bad news for you.
Let's hear it.
I thought we were going to be able to parlay the points, rebounds, assists of Chris Paul with Phoenix tonight.
Yes.
No good.
Oh, right. Yeah.
They won't allow us to do that.
Too correlated, huh?
Yeah. It's just too funky. So,
well, that's a standalone then.
We will play it. I'll lay the minus 120. I have no problem with that. That'll be our first play of the night. How are we drawing up our parlay is the question.
I think we're both on Philly, right?
Philly money line. Now down to 2.5, by the way.
God, what's the money line down to now?
Plus 124.
Seriously, just in the last hour that this changed, because it was 132 when an hour ago, plus 132.
We do Philly on a money line. We do Phoenix on the money line.
That's what I like.
Let's see what it pays. Plus 210.
Okay. Do we want to put the Bucks in, or is that getting too cute? Do you want to grab the 5.5 with the Bucks?
Let's see what it jumps it to. I kind of do. It gets us almost to 5-1. That gets us now to plus 487.
I think we might have to do it.
Yeah, because to me, that's no fun having. Now, listen, we hit both of these. Then, you know, we have some wiggle room for tomorrow night.
That's right.
We have some wiggle room for tomorrow night. And Philly to win, Phoenix to win, Milwaukee +5.5. And I like Golden State tomorrow, but I'm going to play them laying at 3.
Yeah, sure. That makes sense.
I'm playing them separate. I'm not
No reason
them
to lay
anything.
A big price. Don't do that.
No. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. And I don't see Golden State losing a close game, to be perfectly honest. I think the game's close to win. I think if they lose, they're probably, you know, giving you maybe a C-minus effort.
Obviously, we'll say it, you know, just out of courtesy to everybody. If Ja plays, it's a different, you know, forecast. The line will be different. Everything will be different. It doesn't seem like Ja's going to play.
I don't know if the line will be that much different.
Is that right?
I wonder if the line is already factoring in he's going to play house.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I mean, because think about it. What were the lines in the first two games of Golden State Memphis? They're like -2.
Yeah,
minus
they were
two
right.
And a half.
They were just a bucket. That's right. You're right.
I think if Ja doesn't play, it will get jacked up even more. So you might want to take it now.
Yeah, maybe now. Maybe now is the way to do it. Okay.
Three-teamer, though. Sixer. Yes. Phoenix on the money line. Milwaukee +5.5, +487.
Pretty good. 5-1. Let's do it. It's the fifth month. It's a great month for House and JJ. Both of us born in this month. Why not 5-1 for all the buddies out there?
Yes, it is a birthday week for you. It is a birthday week for me. How about the fact the fellow Tauruses, man, rocking and rolling.
It's Taurus time. Let's get this done, JJ.
House, we will chat on Friday. We need to cash a whole lot of tickets, though. We got to get the good vibes going.
Let's get the good vibes going. It's May. If the flowers are blooming, let's go catch some Taurus magic, baby.
Tourist magic indeed. Good work by Stefan. House and I back Friday, and we need this three-legger to come home. Boys are out. Be good, everybody.